chapter 1, First Timothy, chapter 1, we'll read verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. We have preached from this verse many times with very, very little variation. It never gets old. It's always relevant. In this verse, Paul makes reference to, calls our attention to a particular saying or a particular statement, particular report, announcement, a particular message. Concerning this saying, he says that it is a faithful saying. That is, it's certain. It's trustworthy. It's real. He also says concerning this saying that it's worthy of all acceptation. That is, it's suitable to all. It's very appropriate. No matter when you speak these words, they can never be inappropriate. They are words that should be given attention to. They are words that should be believed. They are words, of course, that need to be received by all. He also says of this saying that it is personal to him. In the last part of the verse, he says, of whom I am. That is, it is something that he knows by personal experience. Now, the saying that he draws our attention to is this: Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Read those verses, or read those words. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We need to pause. We need to ponder those words. Need to give those words much thought. They are indelible words. They're momentous words. They're very extraordinary. There's nothing ordinary about them. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. They are words of eternal consequence. We need to pause and we need to meditate upon those words. We're going to repeat them many, many, many times throughout this message. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This is not the opinion of Paul. This is an emphatic, all-important statement, providing a very vital piece of information. And again, it is a faithful saying. That is, it is always, all the time, continually, around the clock, night and day, incessantly, forever, true and accurate. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It is prophetically announced. It is pictured and typified in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, it is declared as something that has literally taken place. It is the storyline of the Word of God. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And it is beautifully pictured, it is beautifully illustrated, and it is declared throughout the Word of God. The declaration of this statement is very simple, and it simply is Jesus saves. And that thread runs from Genesis through the book of Revelation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's a verifiable statement. the innumerable multitude that could be brought forth to testify of the truth that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It is also a statement that declares that sinners are the beneficiaries of an act of Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is a statement of grace. It is a statement of mercy. It is a statement of extraordinary and unheard of love. It is a statement of hope. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. What a marvelous statement. What an amazing statement. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We need to ponder those words. We need to approach those words with hearts overflowing, with humbleness, with adoration, with joy, with thanksgiving, with praise. These are words of celebration. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now that's something to celebrate. That's something to be happy about. So we want to speak this morning on the marvelous news of a Savior. I want to look, first of all, at the details of this statement. Again, the statement is very simple. And the details of the statement are very plainly seen. First of all, the first two words of the statement, Christ Jesus. That's the subject of the statement. That's the foundation of the statement. In those two words, Christ Jesus, our attention is drawn to a person. Not just any person, but to an incomparable person. The foundation stone of hope for mankind is these two words, Christ Jesus. That's His name, Christ Jesus. And it is a name that suggests something concerning His person. He is Christ. That is, He is the Anointed One, which means that He is fully prepared. He is fully qualified. He is fully equipped to do the work that God sent Him to do, which is to save sinners. He is Christ. He is Christ Jesus, meaning Savior. Joseph received heavenly instruction concerning Him in Matthew 1 and verse 21. Thou shalt call His name Jesus. Why? For He shall save His people from their sins. We learn from Philippians 2 and verse 9 that the name of Jesus is a name that is above every name. It's a hated name today. And I'll tell you why it's hated. There's many reasons. But one is it points to God's purpose of salvation. It points to God's purpose, the salvation of a people from their sins. But it also points to our condition, that we are in bondage to sin. The very name Jesus implies a bondage to sin, since He's the Savior. It is a name that points to our need. And what is our need? Our need is salvation from sin. Christ Jesus. Oh, what a name. It simply means God anointed Savior. It is a name. In that name is a statement of God's promise to save sinners. That name is a statement of God's provision. It is a statement of God's sacrifice and remedy for sinful man. It is a name that describes His being, His character, His attributes, His power, His purpose. Again, oh, what a name. Christ Jesus. Who is this Christ Jesus? He's God. The Bible teaches very plainly, He is God. John 1 in verses 1 and 2, concerning Him, we read, "In the beginning was the Word, And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same Word that was with God, the same Word that was God, was in the beginning with God. He said in John 10 and verse 30, I and my Father are one. He said in John 14 and verse 9, He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And he said, and it said in Philippians 2 and verse 6, that He's equal with God. Colossians 3 and verse 5, He is the invisible image of God. And in Hebrews 1 and verse 3, He is the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person. And in Titus 2 and verse 13, He is referred to as the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He is God. Christ Jesus. Notice what He did. Christ Jesus came. We need to pause and consider those words. Christ Jesus came. The question may be asked, how did He come? John 1 verse 14, and the Word, that Word that was with God, that Word that was God, was made flesh. That's how He came. Christ Jesus, God, was clothed in a human body of flesh. And He came. And when He came, an angel announced to shepherds abiding in the field, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Following that announcement, a host of angels filled the sky, praising and saying, glory to God in the highest. Angels who had never sinned, angels who needed no Savior, when the Savior came, they sang and they praised God. Christ Jesus came. The thought of such ought to overwhelm us. And oh, how we ought to praise God for such. If the angels praised God who needed no Savior, how much more you and I. Notice, thirdly, where He came to. If you come, you've got to come to a place. And it says Christ Jesus came into the world. God in a body of flesh came into the world. We read in Galatians 4 and verse 4 that God sent forth His Son. Well, if you come, you've got to come to a place, but you also have to leave another place. And God sent forth His Son. He was sent forth from heaven, and He came to the world. Christ Jesus came into the world. Stop and consider those words. Christ Jesus came. He came from the glory and the beauty of heaven. And He came to a world that was filled with confusion and conflict and struggle and disappointment and fear, and sorrow, and failure, and lust, and selfishness, and pride, and covetousness, and abominations, and disobedience. Christ Jesus came from all the adorations of heaven to the abominations of the world, to the condemnation of the world. He came from the majesties of heaven, the splendors of heaven. He came to the miseries of the world. He came from the praises of heaven And he came to the persecutions of the world. He came from the purity of heaven to the pollutions and perversions of the world. Christ Jesus came into the world. This is more than the mind can conceive. This is more than human language can express. It just keeps getting better. Christ Jesus came. Christ Jesus came into the world. Why did he come? Why did he come? Christ Jesus came into the world to save. To save. That is, God, in a body of human flesh, came into the world with the purpose and with the intent to save. Christ Jesus came into the world, and then the very next word is a very important word, too. That expresses purpose and intent. And the purpose and intent is then clarified, save. Again, we need to pause and consider those words. Christ Jesus came into the world to save, to set free, to release, to rescue, to spare. The very word implies bondage. The very word implies a slavery, an imprisonment. Implies misery to some degree. Implies anguish and despair and gloom. And he came into the world to save. If you need saving, whether it's spiritual, physical, whatever, the very word implies a crisis. The very word implies a state of emergency. It implies that something is dreadful and frightful and desperate and pressing. He came to save. That word also implies inability and helplessness on the part of those who need saving. If you could save yourself, you don't need anyone to save you. If you can help yourself, you know, people say God helps those who help themselves. That is, you will not find that anywhere in the Bible. That's an unscriptural saying. Don't say that. It's just not true. He helps those who can't help themselves. He came to save. That is, God sent him. He's fully qualified, fully equipped. He has the power, he has the ability, and he has the means to save. Who did he come to save? Well, it says Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. He didn't come to save the righteous. He came to save sinners. And oh, how we need to stop and think about those words. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The very word sinners describes the nature, the character, and the practice of those he came to save. What is the character of those he came to save? They're sinners. What's their nature? They're sinners. What's their practice? They're sinners. What do? They sin. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. There's nothing in that sinner that would provoke or motivate or obligate Christ Jesus to come into the world to save them. There's nothing in those sinners to merit Christ Jesus coming in the world to save them. So think about it. Christ Jesus righteous and just God came to save, came to rescue those who sin. Holy and just God came to save those who are guilty of sin. And sin is the most loathsome thing that a human being can do. There's nothing more vile than sin. Sin is the most filthy, the most wicked, the most shameful, the most despicable thing that a human being can do. And Christ Jesus came in the world to save those who sin. And Romans 3 verse 23 tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As we've said before, there's no greater crisis than a sinner in their sins. There's no greater danger, there's no greater problem than a sinner in their sins. The sinner in his or her sins, but Christ Jesus came to save sinners. That's God's remedy. It's God's solution to man's greatest problem. Christ Jesus came to save. It's God's solution and remedy for man's greatest need. Man's greatest need today is salvation from sin. And Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Sinners are those who have transgressed the very law of God. Sinners are those who have rebelled against God. Sinners are those who have risen up against God as an enemy. Sinners are guilty in every way. They are covered with the filth and the vileness and the abominations and the corruption of sin. Sinners are those who do as the devil does. What does Satan do? He sins. What does man do? He sins. So that makes man like who? Satan. And that's why we see in Ephesians 2, verse 2 and 3, we lived our lives according to the prince of the power of the air. Sinners are those who are enslaved and entrapped and imprisoned in sin. Sinners are alienated from God. Sinners are unacceptable to God. And they are without the righteousness of God. And Christ Jesus came into the world to save or to set free, to release, to loose, to rescue, and to spare sinners. Oh, what marvelous news that Christ Jesus came in the world to save. To save perishing and hell-deserving sinners. Every sinner deserves hell. But Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. It's truly an indescribably, unspeakably amazing thing that the great God, the holy and pure God, the sin-offended God, the very God who has the power and the right to crush the sinner and heap eternal damnation upon him, that very God would send his Son into the world to save and rescue and spare sinners. It doesn't get more marvelous than that. He came to save sinners, first and foremost, from their sins. That's what Matthew 1:21 says. He came to save them from their sins. He came to rescue sinners from the death that sin brings. He came to rescue them from the guilt and the condemnation that sin brings. He came to rescue them from the alienation that sin causes and from the enmity that sin causes. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners from the darkness, from the bondage, from the oppression and the helplessness and the hopelessness, from the misery and from the danger that results from sin. Christ Jesus came in the world to save. And when He came with the power to break the chains of sin. And He came with the righteousness that the sinner so desperately needs. He came with the cleansing and the forgiveness that the sinner needs. He came with the pardon that the sinner needs. He came with reconciliation. He came with peace and the acceptance with God that the sinner needs. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Christ Jesus is the one that every sinner, without exception, needs. There is no exception. Every sinner needs Christ Jesus. And He came into the world to save sinners. Oh, what love. Notice it's plural. Sinners. There's hope. There's hope for sinners. There's hope for Caucasian sinners. There's hope for black sinners, for Oriental sinners, for Hispanic sinners, for Arab sinners. Sinners, male and female, of all ages, Christ Jesus came to save all types of sinners. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 9, verse 56, for the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives. You would expect that, but to save them. Oh, what a marvel. It's no wonder that a heavenly host filled the sky in praise to the Lord. So the statement that Paul draws our attention to is Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He makes that statement in a very certain way. He says it's worthy of all acceptation. How did Paul know this statement to be true? Well, he could verify it by the teaching of the Word of God. We can verify that statement, Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. We can verify it by the Word of God. We can also verify it by the experience of others. He has saved some. We can point to individuals and say, right there, proves that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. But more importantly, He can confirm that statement by personal experience. Again, it's a marvelous statement. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. But that statement is followed by perhaps something even more marvelous. Of whom I am. Of whom I am. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Of whom I am. He includes Himself in that statement. What He's saying is, Christ Jesus came into the world to save me. Paul says, I can prove it. because He saved me. He is saying Christ Jesus came into the world for me. He is saying I can attest to the fact that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, because I am the chief of sinners and He saved me. So we must ask today, can you say with certainty, He saved me? He saved me. Can you say that with absolute certainty? Well, I believe He might have saved me. No, if He did, you know it. He saved me. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul knew the certainty of this because there was a day when Paul was brought out of the pit of corruption. So he knew. It's true. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. Has there been a day? Has there been a time in your life where the Lord came where you were and delivered you, lifted you up out of the pit of corruption? Well, Brother Dan, I've been going to church all my life. That's not what I'm talking about. Has He come and lifted you out of the pit of corruption? If so, you can say, I know it's true that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners because He saved me. Paul knew it was true because there was a time when Paul was brought from the enslavement and binding power of sin. He was rescued from the debilitating control of sin. Has there been that day? Has there been that moment in your life when Christ Jesus came where you were and broke the chains of sin? This is not I think so. This is not I hope so. This is, I know that there was a time, there was a place when Christ came and broke the chains of sin and set me free. And if you know that, you know it's also true that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul says, I know it's true. You can believe it because He has delivered me. He has delivered me from the darkness. He has delivered me from the blindness and the ignorance of sin. And the lost sinner lives in darkness. The lost sinner lives in ignorance. The lost sinner lives in blindness. But Paul says there was a day, that day on the road to Damascus, when Christ came and delivered him from the darkness and the blindness and the ignorance of sin. And Paul says, I know it's so that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners because He saved me. Because He saved me. I know it's so because He has delivered me from the filth, from the vileness and from the defilement of sin. I know it's so. I know it's so. Paul is saying I can prove it. Because there was a day in my life when He raised me up from the depths. And there is no greater depth than the depths of an unsaved sinner. And He raised us up from the depths of defilement, from the depths of guilt, from the depths of condemnation, from the depths of separation and alienation and estrangement from God. Paul says, there I was living in those depths. But Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I know it's so, because He raised me from those depths. He raised me from the depths of spiritual bankruptcy and from the depths of spiritual helplessness and hopelessness. So I believe when Paul wrote those words, Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He did so with a heart bubbling over with wonder and with amazement, but also with humility, that Christ Jesus would come into the world to save me. That ought to humble us. And I believe He wrote those words with great thanksgiving. We ought to thank God every single day that He saved our soul. We ought never forget, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. That ought to be on our lips every day. It ought to be on our lips several times a day. And if we go through a day, and unless we're in a coma, if we go through a day and we forget to say, thank you, Lord, for saving me, oh, we need to repent. Lord, forgive me for not being mindful. And I don't think the Lord gets tired of me so thanking Him for saving me. Every day, we ought to praise Him. We ought to praise Him. I can guarantee you, those who profess to be saved and are living lives of sin, they don't thank God for saving their soul. They don't even think about it. Because if they thought about it, they couldn't do what they do. They all thank Him today. Thank Him. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. If you can include yourself in those words, those are precious, precious words to you. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Why, we ought to just walk up to people and say, can I tell you something? Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. Everybody needs to know that. Everybody needs to hear those words. We cannot say it too many times. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. If you know that today, if you know the truth of those words, praise His name. Acknowledge your indebtedness to Him. You can never, throughout all eternity, you can never pay Him for what He's done. We need to acknowledge that we have a debt. We have a debt to Him. If we know the truth of those words, we need to worship Him. We ought to come into the house of God every day, every time we come, with those words on our minds that He saved us. If that doesn't enable you to worship, nothing will. Worship Him. Exalt Him. Bow to Him. Sing to Him. Most importantly, live for Him. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I, the chief of sinners, am, but Jesus came to save me. What wonderful, wonderful news. If you're here today and unsaved, may those words, Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am, grip your heart today. That those words would give you hope today. Because I'm here to tell you that within yourself, there is no hope. There's none. None whatsoever. Well, I was born into a religious family. It doesn't matter. Outside of Christ, you have no hope. None. So, oh, may those words grip your heart. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am. That is, I'm a sinner, and Christ Jesus came to save sinners. Flee to Him today. If you can realize the danger that you're in, flee to Him today. Leave all else behind. Flee from yourself. And flee to Christ as the one and the only Savior from sin. We make no apology whatsoever of saying that Jesus Christ is the one and only Savior from sin. He is the one and only Savior from sin. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means that if you leave this life without Him, you will spend an eternity in hell. And I realize that's not politically correct. Hell is not a place that people talk about much today. And unless you're Adolf Hitler, no one goes to hell, according to society. But nothing could be further from the truth. Moral people die and go to hell. People that you and I would consider to be good citizens and pretty good people die and go to hell. Without Christ, there is no hope. We're not trying to be mean. That's not mean at all. That's giving you hope. There is hope today. But that hope is only in Christ. Do you know today that He saved your soul? Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse 7.